Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A federal panel looking into financial risk.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. More hearings are going on today over the Federal Crisis Inquiry Commission, looking into potential systemic risk from big financial institutions. Federal bank regulators are defending the actions they took back in 2008, leading up to the collapse of Lehman Brothers and the purchase of Wachovia Bank at the height of the financial crisis. Former Lehman CEO Richard Fuld told the panel the company could have survived had financial regulators made different decisions. Rick Rothiker is a reporter for the Charlotte, North Carolina Observer, and he's author of the book Banktown. He's with us live from Charlotte. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So, Rick, what are we hearing today in the thinking about saving Bear Stearns? But, you know, Bear Stearns was saved earlier in the year, and then Lehman was let to collapse, right?
Yeah. The way they're distinguishing it is that Bear Stearns first had a merger partner who was interested, which was J.P. Morgan.
Right.
And that they had some collateral that made it worthwhile to make a loan in the interim. And they are saying, you know, there just wasn't that collateral there that they could have got paid back and didn't want to risk taxpayer money to try to do that for Lehman. Of course, soon after, we saw more bailouts, including some assistance, potential assistance for Wachovia, which later didn't need it because Wells Fargo came in.
Wachovia, of course, is based in Charlotte, right? And so what was going on up to that point? I mean, weren't there negotiations with Wells Fargo to sell the bank to Wells anyway?
Exactly. Wachovia was, you know, at the peak of the crisis, suddenly was having a liquidity crunch. And over the weekend at the end of September, Wells Fargo and Citigroup were both looking at Wachovia. Citigroup needed government help to do it. Wells said they could do it on their own, but then kind of pulled out at the 11th hour, and the government arranged the sale to Citigroup.
And what could the Fed have done if, I mean, because the Wells deal didn't really go through, do you let Wachovia fail?
Well, that's the question. They didn't want to do that. They argue that it was too interconnected and bigger than even some of the banks that did fail, like Washington Mutual essentially failed. So they were working to help them, and that's why they did this essentially an auction that resulted in Citigroup first going to buy it. Then Wells Fargo came back a few days later and said, hey, we can do it on our own. And FDIC was pretty happy to let that happen and not have to go into their worry about going into their fund to help Wachovia.
And Rick Rothiker joining us from Charlotte, North Carolina. We do thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are up right now anywhere from 2 or 2.5% across the board. The S&P up now 2.8%. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow higher now by 247 points at 10,262. European shares up right now as well, anywhere from 2 to 3%. And European markets, I should say Asian markets, were higher today as well. Payroll processor ADP said today employers cut 10,000 private sector workers in August. Analysts were expecting a gain. Another report out this morning with a little better news. The outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas said planned layoffs in August were at a 10-year low. One of the world's biggest investment banks is making a change. JP Morgan Chase is shutting down its proprietary trading desks. Those are the places where J.P. Morgan trades on its own behalf instead of trading on behalf of clients. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is with us live from our New York studio with the latest. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hi, Steve.
What's J.P. Morgan saying about this?
Well, they're not saying anything, but a source familiar with the situation tells Marketplace that indeed the operations of proprietary trading are being shut down. Now, this is something that all of the U.S. banks are going to have to do in some way to comply with a part of the financial regulation bill aimed at keeping banks from taking huge risks with their own money. I spoke with Brad Hintz, who's a bank analyst at Sanford Bernstein. He says this is a pretty big deal.
Wall Street makes somewhere between 10 and 15% of its revenues in trading from proprietary trading. And you'd rather act quickly on this because if you don't, the traders are going to leave the firm.
And by acting quickly, he says banks can shift some of their top talent to other areas of the firm or perhaps spin them off into a hedge fund.
Well, all right. If this is the kind of trading, Jeremy, that makes up, what, to 15% of their profits?
Yeah.
I mean, what does that mean for the banks?
Well, Hintz says it means they'll face stiffer competition from European banks who can still do proprietary trading. But he also says it means U.S. banks are going to have to use more of their own money, not to trade for themselves, but to lend, which, after all, is one of the things banks are supposed to do.
Indeed. All right. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson from New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
I remember the first time I went to Greece to see my family. I was a smoker then. I got off the plane, a 12-hour flight, and asked at the airport if I could light a cigarette. The man at customs said to me, I'll never forget this, "This is Greece. You can smoke anywhere." Well, that's about to change, as reporter Joanna Kakissis reports from Athens.
Cafe owners say the Greek economic crisis and a raft of new taxes have hurt their business. Now the anti-smoking crackdown will make things worse. For 25 years, Thomas Delilingas has been running his small cafe in the quiet Athens neighborhood of Galatzi. It's a place where people play pool and talk about the latest soccer game. Everyone drinks coffee and the strong Greek liquor called ouzo. And until yesterday, everyone smoked. Today, Delilingas is glum. He has had to shoo away several customers because they wanted to smoke. And if he were to let them, a new Greek law will fine him hundreds of dollars.
People here have learned to drink their coffee, to drink their ouzo, while having their cigarettes. The cafe owner should be able to decide whether to allow smoking in their area or not. I am trying to run a business here. I can't play police officer with my customers.
Delilingas himself doesn't smoke and can't stand the smell. But fate, he says, made me a cafe owner, and business is business. And right now, Greece needs all the business it can get. In Athens, I'm Joanna Kakissis for Marketplace.
And finally, Australian actor Paul Hogan lives in Los Angeles with his wife and son, but he's been stuck in Australia now for 10 days since returning for his mother's funeral. Authorities won't let him leave because they say he owes taxes on undeclared income. Hogan starred in the movie franchise Crocodile Dundee, and he tells the newspaper he doesn't have near the money that people think he has. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.